question I want to raise with you tonight. Who is in charge? Who is in control? King of the castle, who plays that role? If you're for Brexit or you're afraid of it, if you're not into politics because everyone seems shifty, or curious of what happens after triggering Article 50, if you're for Trump or you just feel trumped, if you feel let down by people in power, if you're disengaged or just enraged, if you feel free as a bird that's been let out of its cage, ask yourself, who's in charge? Who's in control? King of the castle, who plays that role? You see, within the Christmas story, there are these spiritual seekers, stargazers, astrologers, magi from the East, and they ask a profound question. Where is the true king? And it's a question that we should be asking ourselves tonight in 2016. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the reign of King Herod, magi came from the East to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the East and have come to worship him. Herod was not a humble man. He prided himself on being in control. He was an anxious guy. He was a jealous guy. He was a selfish guy. Yet he knew deep down that he was not the king. He knew deep down that he wasn't even born a Jew. And so he was hypersensitive to the thought that there was a better king. And when the question came from the Magi, where is the true king? The question was the most disturbing question he could ever have heard. And when we receive that question tonight, who's in charge? If we allow it, that question will disturb us as well. Because the human heart, at all costs, wants to remain in control. You've heard the story about the guy who's hanging off the cliff, and he's just holding on to tufts of grass, and he's shouting, help, help, help. And he says, it's God here. Just let go and trust me. Is there anyone else there? I know when we know that God is the answer, putting our trust in God is hard. We don't want God running our lives. We want to run our lives. But when the question comes to us, who's in charge? There's a still small voice within us that's saying, not me. You see, when I was younger, I used to think that I could control things. And the more I go on, the more I realize that I can't. And it's really quite liberating. We can't control our employment. If we're in the oil industry, when the oil price falls, we're not in control of that. We can go to the gym and work out 3 or 4 times a week, but we cannot control whether we get cancer or not. We cannot control our health. Our family life, we can seek to raise our children as best we can, but we cannot control how it will all turn out. We can only try our best. Our financial security, we can't control that either. Look at the interest rates, 1%, 2% if you're lucky. That nest egg for retirement is not looking as good as it did a few years ago. How do you react to this disturbing truth that you are not in control? There's only one person that sits on an absolute throne. Jesus Christ, he is the one who has the authority. And he is the one that summons us to live our lives for him. But deep down, we resist that in all of our hearts. Because at the core of our being, and perhaps you can relate to this too, nobody tells me what to do. Each of us wants to be the captain of our own soul. Each of us wants to be the master of our own fate. And if you're finding this difficult, you're in good company. Because actually, it's impossible to do this without God's help. What happens when we are the ones who insist on being in control? We get rewarded for that, and the reward is this, that we get the privilege of solving all of the problems all by ourselves. We get the privilege of having to carry all of the burdens on our shoulders. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we read these words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The government is on his shoulders. The authority is on his shoulders. We look at the baby Jesus, we think, well, he's not going to be able to carry very much on his shoulders. And as he got bigger, and as he started to reach out to people and speak to them and heal them, and there's one day when he stood up in a boat and commanded the wind and the waves to be quiet. And they said, what kind of authority has this guy got? He started to forgive people's sins. They said, what kind of authority has this guy got? He can forgive sins. And then he came and carried the greatest needs of all on his shoulders, our need for relationship with God. You see, that resistance to allowing God to be in control of our lives, that insistence on putting ourselves in control without need for God, the Bible calls sin. And that rebellion against God has a cost, because on the day of judgment, the one who's in authority, Jesus, will say, how did you respond to me? What did you do with that great gift that I gave you? And say, well, if we've ignored him in this life, he will ignore us in the life after. But he came so that we didn't have to shoulder these burdens. He came to shoulder that burden for us. And not only does the authority rest on him, but all of our sins rested upon him when he hung on the cross for us. His shoulders were stretched out on a cross as he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know that they need me. Forgive them. They don't know that rejecting me is the worst decision they could ever make. Jesus didn't just come. Jesus is God's gift to us this Christmas. Jesus is the one in charge. He is the King. Jesus means Savior. He came to rescue us, to forgive us. Jesus means Emmanuel, God with us. And that great gift of himself can only be received in one way, very similar to the Alcoholics Anonymous. We need to say, I don't want to be in charge anymore. I want to hand over this problem to you. I know that I've tried to make life work without you, and it hasn't. And I need your help. You see, if we receive that gift of Jesus by faith, by trusting in what he's done on the cross, by trusting in the fact that he rose from the dead to forgive our sins and to give us life eternal, if we put our trust in what he has done, we'd only receive his help. We change our status. We become his children, his loving children. But perhaps for you tonight, you need to make a first step in reaching out to God and in handing over to him some of the problems that you're wrestling in your life. And Christians also struggle to do this. As I've been speaking with people recently, they've said to me, I've been a Christian for decades, and I still am just learning how mighty God is. I'm still just learning what a wonderful counselor he is. I'm still just learning, and I keep trying to work it out all by myself, but I'm learning by God's grace to hand things over to him. And you see here what Corrie ten Boom said. Corrie ten Boom was hiding Jews in her home in Holland, and she eventually went to a concentration camp. And her sister died in a concentration camp in the Second World War. She said, I've held many things in my hand, and I've lost all of them. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. And I want to encourage you this Christmas, this night, to hand it over to God, to cast all your burdens upon him, to put your life in his hands, and you will never, ever regret it. What happens when we put our life in God's hands? What happens when we hand over control to God? We have a peace that passes all understanding. And if you've never tasted it, I encourage you to try it. A joy unspeakable, a joy which is so wonderful when God comes into our lives. And no more fear of death, no more fear of this life's not working out, because life is everlasting. And what does it mean to have everlasting life? It's to be in friendship with God tonight and forevermore. You see, we see all these lights here. We see all these lights here. We go into the town center, we see more lights. These lights are symbolic, but some lights deceive. Some lights distract. But Jesus becomes a light for us when all other lights go out. And if you've reached a point in your life where you are saying, I've tried it all, and I want to know where life is to be found. Jesus is the light for you when all other lights go out. Don't take it all on your own shoulders. Allow God to carry you into 2017. The words of Scripture are words for us tonight. We can be walking blindly, groping to find our way, but we can see the light, the truth, Jesus. That light puts reality on our lives, just like headlights on a car show us where the danger points are. When Jesus' light comes into our life, we see not plain sailing, but we see where the dangers are as well and how to navigate them. God wants us to have life to the full, and he wants us to know that he will steer us away from everything that is harmful, but he will bring us into everything that will give peace and joy and hope. He is the great light. And these magi, these wise men, they didn't really have a scooby about what it was all about. But they knew that they were being guided towards the truth. And they took hold of a scripture which said that there was a king to be born for the whole world. And when they got there and they saw this Jesus, they worshipped him. They were high and mighty people, but they were prepared to get on their knees and to realize that Jesus was above them. And as they came away from that stable, from that house, they were never the same again, but for the better. And I want you to come away from this message tonight and know that it's not meant to be a message of immediate good cheer. It might be a message that disturbs as you allow the question to penetrate your heart. Who's in charge? Where is the king to be found? His name is Jesus. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And he wants you to take his hand into 2017. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we don't have to get despairing when we see the problems in the world today, because you are bringing all things to a conclusion. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the all-powerful one. We thank you also that you are compassionate and gracious. Not only did you dwell with Mary and Joseph, but you come and you dwell with us. And we invite you tonight into the center of our lives. And in the silence, we just want to offer up our burdens to you. Would you forgive our sins? Thank you for coming. We receive, Father, the gift of Jesus and his death on the cross. We receive his forgiveness. We receive his eternal life. Come and take our hand into 2017. We don't just want you to be Jesus now. We want you to be the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing.